It's industrial waste, that. You've ruined your watershed, Wonka. It's polluted.
It's chocolate.
That's chocolate.
That's chocolate.
A chocolate river.
That's the most fantastic thing I've ever seen.
10,000 gallons an hour. And look at my waterfall. That's the most important thing. It's mixing my chocolate. It's actually churning my chocolate. You know, no other factory in the world mixes its chocolate by waterfall. But it's the only way if you want it just right.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. My name is Mike. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. And with me this week is...
This is Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And normally, as you guys know, if you guys have listened to the show at all, Chris is usually here. He's not here this week.
Lucky.
He wrote us a little email.
Just kidding.
And he says that, you know, hey guys, sorry I couldn't do the show this week. I'm just completely physically and emotionally drained right now. Chris has had some issues with the family that he's been working out. So our heart goes out to him and his family and hope everything's okay.
Yes.
And we'll talk with him next week. He wanted us to hold off on a conversation that we wanted to have this week on our hop topic. So we're going to play the audio, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on in the beer world this week.
Yeah, some good stories. This week is chocolate. Wonderful. I want to talk a little bit about the style. As you know, if you listened last week, we did stouts, and we plan on doing some oatmeal stouts, I think, coming up. Yeah, so I'm not going to go over the history of stout, but I will talk a little bit about chocolate stout.
Yes, please do.
And what's that?
Please do. I would love to hear about some chocolate stouts.
Oh, all right. chocolate stout originally was... named from the brewers gave it that name to certain stouts because of the dark chocolate flavor through using the darker, more aromatic malts, like specifically, you know, chocolate malt. Mm-hmm. It's a malt that's been roasted or kilned until it acquires a chocolate color. And if you don't know what kilned is, we're going to let the beer jargon guy let you know what kilned is.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is kiln. Kilns are thermally insulated chambers or ovens in which controlled temperature regimes are produced. They are used to harden, burn, or dry materials. In this case, malt.
All right.
Thanks, beer jargon guy.
And he's always there for us.
He was on quick this week. He was right there, ready
right
to go from the beginning.
So sometimes with like Young's Double Chocolate Stout,
yes,
or
very nice,
the beer that we're actually going to try this week, Rogue's Chocolate Stout, they actually use chocolate in brewing the beer. So this one's, you know, a little different. And it's more, some of the modern stouts will actually be brewed with chocolate as opposed to just using chocolate malts. So I just gave it away. That's our fermentation conversation, is the Rogue Chocolate Stout. And then we'll go into some hop topics. And we'll do our tasting flight. And this week, obviously, Chris won't be doing his this week. So there's one less chocolate beer, which is sad.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll do some chocolate again sometime soon. I'm up for it.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to
sure.
do the High and Mighty's Two-Headed Beast. It's their chocolate stout. Toby, what are you going to do?
I'm cheating this week because, you know, I searched and I don't know if it's just the time of year or what, but I cannot find a chocolate stout out here in my area. So what I did is I actually had a couple of 12th anniversary from Stone.
Nothing wrong with that.
Still chilling in the fridge. And
listen, didn't they have like a long title, like bitter chocolate oatmeal?
Yeah, the bitter something. Chocolate oatmeal stout. So, and it's actually made with a Oaxacan chocolate. So I'll explain more in my tasting flight. But yeah, it's Stone's 12th anniversary.
Sweet. Then, of course, we have the tweet of the week. We'll go through a little backwash and some last call. I am ready to drink some chocolate beer. I've been waiting a long time for this. Are we ready?
You have, man. You've been waiting a long time.
Let's do it.
Wait no more.
This stuff is terrific. Grandpa, look at Augustus.
Don't worry. He can't drink it all.
Augustus, sweetheart, save some room for later.
Oh, Augustus, please, don't do that. My chocolate must never be touched by human hands. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. You're contaminating my entire river. Please, I beg you, Augustus. My chocolate. My chocolate. My beautiful chocolate.
Don't just stand there. Do something.
Help. Police. Murder.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. Gonna drink some beer, yeah. Since the fermentation, conversation, yeah.
Yeah.
So we finally get to try the chocolate beer.
Chocolate?
If you want to view paradise, simply grab a glass and drink it. Sorry.
But I want my beer now, Mikey.
I want my beer now.
All right, so this beer that we're going to try.
Let's just do this for the whole.
Is
oh, no, we got to drink beer.
Rogue's Chocolate Stout. This is, of course, from Rogue Ales Brewery out of Newport, Oregon. Their website is www.rogue.com. They also have what they call meeting halls, and they have those in Washington, as well as San Francisco. And they're basically pubs owned by the brewery and have their beer, from what I understand, which I thought was illegal, but what do I know?
Yeah.
This one in particular, the ingredients, their malts are Northwest Harrington and Clagus, Crystal, Beeston Chocolate, rolled oats and roasted barley. The hops they use is Cascade. The chocolate they use is an imported Dutch bittersweet chocolate. And of course they use Rogue's Pac-Man yeast and free-range coastal water. Make sure their water is not confined in a cage.
So some of those other The brew pubs you're talking about, one of them is, isn't it Eugene City Brewing? I think that's them.
Yeah, they also mentioned that they had kind of like, almost like sisterhood type breweries. I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah.
What, like if it's actually part of the company or just, you know, friends in brewing. I'm not really sure how that all works for them. Not sure the relationship. This beer actually won awards, three of them. 2006, they won the World Beer Championships. They won the gold. In 2005, they won the Great International Beer Competition in first place. And also in 2005, the Great British Beer Festival, they got first place. And the ABV on this.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Rogue. The ABV on this beer is 6%. The IBUs are 69. Rate Beer rates this a 99 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it an A+. I'm ready. Let's crack these things open.
So you were saying that this is pretty much the staple when it comes to chocolate stouts, right? Up there with Young's?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different than Young's. I don't think it's as velvety as Young's, but I guess we'll be the judge of that here.
Right.
Wow.
I have to share mine with Gina tonight, so...
Okay.
Maybe if she feels so inclined, she'll pop in with some opinions. Okay.
This really... opaque brown to black beer. I mean, it's a black beer. Got a really nice milky coffee colored head. Like creamy foam. Big bubbles on top.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Chris always says, a root beer float. And this is like, as far as the color goes, this is.
Yeah.
Very root beer-esque.
It's even dark, like the color of the head is very dark.
Yeah. Mm. Woo! Some great chocolate in there, man. Yeah.
It's almost like Jell-O chocolate pudding-ish kind of chocolatey.
Yes, exactly. It's the Jell-O chocolate pudding.
Get the pudding in the beer.
Just get the Jell-O with the pudding and the pudding put it in the beer.
So I'm gonna take a.
I was just watching something and somebody was doing a. Oh, it was Jamie Foxx was on.
Oh yeah,
I think Conan O'Brien, and he talked about how he does Bill Cosby impression, and then he's like, "Ah, that's old now. White people are doing Bill Cosby."
Nice.
Hmm. Yeah, this smells good. I mean, really, all you're smelling is just chocolate.
Yeah. There's maybe some malty type chocolate, almost like a little bit of the Ovaltine-ish.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a sip.
Hmm.
Wow. I'm getting some roastiness.
Ooh. Yeah, there is. Some chocolatey roastiness.
It's like a hot chocolate type, more of a cocoa kind of chocolate. And there's a little bit of citrus in there too.
Yeah, you're getting citrus?
A little bit. Yeah, I think so.
It has a slight bitterness, very thin, very drinkable. I mean, this is... The mouthfeel is not bad.
It's kind of medium. It's not as rich as I thought it was going to be, but it's got a good medium mouthfeel.
Great bitter chocolate aftertaste, though. So, that's good. Man, Chris is missing out.
All right, I'm sure he'll have some of this. Maybe he'll have some of this when he listens to it. Speaking of which, we forgot
Chris, you can taste
apologize
with us.
For the podcast being a day late this week.
Right.
We had a really rough week. If you even knew how we were putting together this podcast this week, you'd be pretty impressed of the
very
forces were against us
means.
Recording this week.
Yeah. But we're making it happen.
Yep.
Chris would have wanted it that way.
Yes.
We're talking about him like he's dead.
Gone.
Jeez.
Sorry.
This one's for you, Chris.
This one's for you.
No, Chris is fine. He's
fine.
He's okay. He's alive and well in Texas among the scared sheep.
Those cows, right?
Or scared cattle. That's what it is. The cows.
Sheep's Australia, I think.
Oh, that's right. Or New Zealand.
Where the men are men and the sheep are nervous. But this, I'm getting some really good, rich chocolate flavors in here.
Yeah.
It's good. This, I mean, I don't even know what I would pair this with.
It kind of stands on its own as
it does.
I would say after dinner by the fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I mean, it's not, it may a sipping go with beer.
Like a dessert. I'm thinking maybe something with berries only to kind of complement the chocolate aspects. Because there's no berry flavors in this beer. But I think a berry would complement the cocoa, the bitter chocolateness to this.
Maybe maybe some like chocolate dipped strawberries or something.
That's actually, yeah, that's a good choice. I like
or
that. Or those cordial cherry type things might not be too bad. Or
yeah, this is very, very nice.
If you want to get a little more casual, you could go with Ben and Jerry's. What's that cherry ice cream they have? It's got cherries and chocolate and Cherry Garcia, of course.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Cherry Garcia. You know, speaking of ice cream, we went to Cold Stone the other night, and I got this pumpkin ice cream with graham crackers and marshmallows mixed in. Woo! That was good, man. It was pumpkin pie ice cream. It was nice.
Tis the season.
But maybe I'll save
this.
That for my pairing with the pumpkin beer or something.
Mm. Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, Rogue, man. Top notch.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I know why it got such good ratings now. You said it's not as silky as Young's, which we can't do on our podcast because we do the or can we
it
do
is forbidden.
Where's Young's out of? The UK or
they're English, yeah.
It is, yeah.
I believe they're out of England.
Well, this is America's version of the chocolate stout, and it's a damn good one.
Yep.
All right.
I like it.
Hop topics next.
Woohoo!
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
All right. Welcome to our Hop Topics section.
Hop Topic. Hop topic.
So my hop topic this week is a ridiculously talked about topic this week. Everybody's been talking about this.
Everybody should be talking about
should
this.
Should be. If they're not, yeah. This one shouldn't go under the radar. This should be news everywhere, and I hope it gets some broader coverage. Chris really wanted to be here to talk about this subject this week. So what we're going to do is I'm going to play some audio from the news, which is basically, I haven't even
YouTube.
Mentioned it. Basically, Monster Energy Drink gave a cease and desist order to a Vermont brewer who has a beer called the Vermonster beer. And, well, let's play the audio.
September 14th, I get ready for work and I get an email from a lawyer that represents an energy drink company in California, a $1 billion corporation, saying I need to cease and desist my Vermonster beer that I brew up here in Vermont. There we are. We're off and running, having fun. I was a one-man operation for 4 years. I brewed alone in my basement of my home where this business started 12 years ago. I mean, it's a classic American dream. I started a business in my basement, and we now employ 7 people, plus my wife and I, and we're looking to get into possibly a new building. You never know. I mean, we're growing. We're having fun with this. My beer, the Vermonster, I created to celebrate my 10th anniversary in business. We had 10 years of successful brewing and having so much fun that I created this American Star Barley Wine, a big, bold beer, heavily hopped. I used a 10s theme to celebrate the 10th anniversary. We brought the alcohol up to 10% ABV, used 100 IBUs, and dry hopped it for a pound per barrel, which is pretty heavy-handed, just getting that 10 theme. I based the beer on my famous Ridge Runner beer, which is really the beer that we brew that built the brewery, paid the bills, got me out of the basement, got me into an actual brewery, and put more stainless steel on the floor. So here I am, September 14th, and Corporate America says cease and desist selling all Vermonster beer, all advertising associated with this, all marketing materials and promotions cease immediately. So anyway, I'm just beside myself. You know, I call up my original lawyer, and oh, there's no infringement issue. The way the system is set up, I'm being explained by these trademark lawyers, is that this will enter the court system, and this $1 billion corporation will be allowed to fight this in the courts with dollars. If I win the first round, they can appeal. And if I win the second round, they can appeal. And all the time, this starts at $65,000 for each court case and goes and goes and goes. And at some point, obviously, a small little Vermont brewery is not going to be able to afford this anymore. And what happens at that point, when you're involved in this legal battle and can no longer afford to represent yourself, you lose by default. The court system says you default lose. What happens then? I have to change the name of the beer and move on if there's any brewery left. So a wonderful guy I'm working with here in Vermont, within, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes of talking about this issue with him, and he says, there's no infringement here. But Matt, I like your beer, and I like you, and what you need to think about is this is corporate America, and they have the coffers and the resources to take you down, and they will. If you're in their way of getting into beer, they will take you down. They will drag this out until you can't afford it. And he says, you got 2 boys, you got a wife, you got a business, you got employees, you got to think about that. My recommendation, you can't afford it, just change the name and move on. Okay, you get that all rinsed. So if Rich's got the... And corporate America apparently can do this stuff this day and age in the trademark law court. And I don't buy it. I don't think that happens in corporate in America these days. And I don't believe it. So it's the principle. The principle is that I'm being told I'm right. These are 2 different categories. And that I have to stand up for this. I can't take this. Yeah, you know, change the name and move on. Nah, can't do it. Getting too flustered. You know, when I pledged allegiance as a kid to this country, this is a cool country and a great country, and I love it. And I don't remember the end of it saying, and justice for all with the deepest pockets. My extrapolation is that a company with a lot of money will buy justice. My wife and I are citizens here in this country. My corporation is an entity in this country. It says, and justice for all. If they're telling me, and when it gets to the point that these people have so much money and power, $1 billion, I mean, you know, Washington trades around $1 billion like it's nothing, but $1 billion, and they're at the point where they can just purchase court system time and effort and get the result they want, that's scary. I don't want to live in that world. The wonderful thing about this is, and it's very reassuring, is the support that's come out for Renee and I on this issue across the country. It's just been pouring out emails and support and letters going to this corporation in California, telling them of their disgust. It's so warming for Renee and I to realize that, you know, we as individuals, if you can't afford to fight a court battle, we have wonderful tools called the media and the press, and we can get our word out. We're going to continue this as long as we can. I'm a man of principles, and it's principles at stake. It's liberty at stake. It's justice that's at stake, and I'm being told it's for sale. I don't buy it. Thank you for listening, and jump on our website, get the links, and run with it, America. Let the corporations know who actually has the power in this country, where your dollars are, and what you're going to do. That's it. We run the show, people. We run it all. We just need to talk and communicate and work together. Thank you.
So I hope that explains a little bit about what we were, talking about before. The like I said, next week we're going to talk about this. We'll have Chris in here, and there's been, you know, talk on Twitter. We'll pull people's thoughts off Twitter, and we'll talk about this kind of the whole show next week, because I think it's pretty important. Can't let corporate America walk all over the little guys. But anyway, we'll move on to Toby's hot topic this week. Toby, what do you got?
Well, this one is kind of along the same lines of the other hop topic. This is from Moylan Brewing Company out of California, just north of San Francisco, Lakesburg, California. Their Scotch Ale was called a Kilt Lifter Ale, which they're changing the name, but only in a certain amount of states. And I think it's well, the owner of Moylan's, hang on.
So they decided it was just a handful of states that wouldn't allow the name?
Well, the owner, Brendan Moylan, commented, in the spirit of integrity in the beer business and mutual disdain for trademark lawyers, we choose to act within a gentlemanly manner and sell their product with an alias in limited distributable zones.
All that chocolate
so
beer.
For instance, Pike Brewing out of Seattle, Washington has a Kilt Lifter. Four Peaks in Arizona has a Kilt Lifter. Alley Cat in Canada. Five Seasons Brewing in Georgia. LB Brewing from Hayes, Kansas. Pug Ryan's has a Scottish Ale formerly known as Kilt Lifter. So I think it's just kind of out of there. Not trying to conflict with already beers that have already been brewing for years. Like some of the brewing companies I've mentioned were been around since 97 and Five Seasons been around since 2001. Anyways, so they're kind of being cool about it, and they're saying, well, we'll change the name for these states probably because of, you know, so it doesn't conflict with the already, you know, the brewing company's already there.
Oh,
already
like the established Kilt Lifter. Wow, that's actually
right.
kind of an opposite.
Yeah, it's kind of opposite
than
of
the story.
Other story.
It's like, yeah, they're kind of, yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know how people could really get that confused over it. I mean, it kind of bugged me because it's like saying, well, you know, we can't call it a stout. If anything, people will think Kilt Lifter is a style, which, you know, isn't necessarily the case, but I don't think people will get confused that one's called a Kilt Lifter. I mean, they don't get confused every time they see different style of beer. I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but.
Right. I know it's, I mean, everybody's labels are different. I don't think that there's going to be any kind of confusion in somebody. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, they actually the states that they're changing it in is California, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Missouri, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, Colorado, Nevada, and possibly others. So, anyway. That was Moylan's out of Lakesburg, California, with their Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale.
Very interesting.
That you may not see in your state. It may just be called Moylan's Scotch Ale.
Which we haven't done that style yet. We're going to have to do that style on an upcoming show.
Yeah. There should be plenty of Scotch style ales in America.
I also wanted to mention that Gregory Noonan, he's the guy who wrote the book on brewing beer. He actually wrote three different books. He was a pioneer in the microbrewing culture of Vermont. He died in Burlington, Vermont, in his home on Sunday, and he was 58 years old. So I just wanted to mention that. It was kind of a major player in the craft brewing movement, and he's gone. So I just wanted to kind of pay my respects by mentioning Gregory Noonan.
So raise a glass.
Yes, we're going to raise some brewers. Chocolate stout to Gregory Noonan. Hopefully he liked that style. Speaking of tilting our glasses, let's go drink some more chocolate beer.
Let's tilt it.
What do you say?
Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
What's up? Alright.
Yeah.
So, for my tasty flight, I'm mixing it up. I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I mean, it's...
not
it's,
cheating. There's nothing
well,
wrong.
I guess
this
not.
Is not
it's,
cheating. It's
it
chocolate.
It is a chocolate stout.
Right.
But it's old, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's no longer... It was brewed once a year ago in July of 08, which was their 12th anniversary. And we are now in the 13th year of Stone's fabulous existence. Mm. So the Stone 12th anniversary, it's their bitter chocolate oatmeal stout. And Stone is from San Diego, California. They've been brewing since 1996. Their website is www.stonebrew.com. The style is an oatmeal stout / imperial stout with Oaxacan chocolate. That's chocolate from Oaxaca.
Gesundheit.
The ABV of this bad boy is 9.2%. So it's fairly high. It's
damn.
Almost twice as... Oh, no, our Rogue was 6%.
Yeah.
So it's a slightly higher than our Rogue from our fermentation conversation.
Well, would you expect anything less from Stone?
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't say that this is a beer that's been meant to age, but hopefully it's, you know, a year has done it well. Hopefully it hasn't done anything bad to it. You know, I've kept it in a dark, cool place.
I've always been curious with Stone beers, you know, I really think that they would... you know, if some of those, as far as aging some Stone beers, if it's true that aging them kind of mellows them out over time, I'd really, really be curious to try like some old Vertical Epics or something that's, you know, been aged for some time from Stone.
Yeah, we were, Gina and I were just talking about Stone, how they've aged the Double Bastard. Sometimes I'll get these emails from Stone saying, you know, their growler fills of the weekend, and they'll pull out some 2005 Double Bastard, you know. So they do with some of their beers, they do age them, and I think mainly the only real one that they age on a regular basis, I guess, is the Double Bastard, from what I've heard from them. So back to the 12th anniversary, you should cellar this at 45 to 50 and serve it at 50 to 55. You can find these, well, if you can find these now, they're in 22-ounce bottles, limited supply. They were brewed once. I find them, just to let you guys know, whoever's listening, if you're in Las Vegas, I find these all over the place. So I don't know what it is with the people of Las Vegas that they haven't been swiping these up, because I've had this a few times. I really like it. I think maybe now, if you're in Las Vegas hearing this, you'll go out and pick up some, because I still find them on the shelves. The ingredients, they use pale malt, caramel malts, oats, black malt, roasted barley, chocolate malt, and 100% pure cocoa with, and they also, their hops they're using are the Autanum, Summit, Willamette, and the Galena hops. And an interesting note of this one is it stems from two pilot beers that were brewed by members of the Stone team. The first was Jeremy Moyner's Oatmeal Stout, and the second was Jake Radsky's Homebrewed Imperial Stout that has authentic Oaxacan chocolate added to the boil. They combined the recipes And now you have Stone's 12th Anniversary Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout. They also
It's not a blend of beers. It's actually a recipe with both. It's kind of both recipes together brewed as one.
Exactly.
Beer.
They just took two beers and put them together.
Nice.
They use unsweetened, unprocessed cacao sourced through the Chihuahua chocolatier. And Chris mentioned a few shows back about the Chihuahua chocolatier with their, like, you know, Mayan chocolates whatever.
That's like one of my favorite drinks ever. You get the spicy Mayan hot chocolate at Chihuahua.
Yeah.
It will take your breath away.
And they also use oatmeal in the mash. So without any further ado, I've been talking for way too long, as usual.
All right. There's one less mouth to keep it going longer, so we'll be okay. We can stretch it out this show.
It's pouring out very thick.
Do you have to kind of bang the bottle of the glass to get the rest of the beer out? Kind of like
it's thick
as ketchup.
And very dark. I mean, it looks like I'm pouring soy sauce out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Remember how dark the rogue was, the head? This is even darker. This is actually brown.
Wow.
It's completely black. You cannot see through it. There are no highlights of you know, typically you can maybe get a ruby highlight. No, there's nothing. This is completely solid black. The flagship beer from Stone's flagship beers, Arrogant Bastard. Rate Beer gave this one a 98 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Ahlstrom brothers have not tried it yet. Don't know if they ever will. Unless maybe I can send them a bottle. Hey, Ahlstrom brothers, you want me to send you a bottle? I got plenty.
We're going to make a list of all the beers the Ahlstrom brothers haven't tried and send it to them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's like from the Beer Coasters podcast to Beer Advocate.
So I'm using a snifter glass because Beer Advocate said you can use a pint glass or a snifter. So I thought, ooh, snifter. I like using my snifter.
I do too. That's what I'm using. It's kind of my black lager glass, which is actually one of my favorite glasses because it just lends itself to those type of beers, the stouts and the porters and even, you know, double IPAs and such. It's good. It's good for aroma and flavor, I think.
The head is retaining pretty well. I started off with about a finger and a half to 2 fingers of head. Now I've got about a half a finger of head still. So their head retention is excellent. And on the nose, I get a lot of some really good roasted roastiness.
Nice.
I also pick up some alcohol. And there might even be some black cherry in there. Chocolate, maybe a hint of coffee.
Take a sip.
Okay.
The suspense is killing me.
So, remember, this has been cellared for a year.
Properly? Or has it been tumbling around in your dryer and then exposed to the sun?
Yeah, I've been taking it in and out of coolers and sitting in the backyard for 9 months now. No, I'm just kidding.
Because nothing loves beer more than the Vegas sun.
Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty good mouthfeel. It's a little oily. Some pretty good chocolate in there. Slight spiciness. There's a slight spicy chocolate. A little bit of alcohol, kind of that warming alcohol. This is good. I'm even picking up on maybe a little bit of hops in there too. Some kind of bitter hops.
I got a little bit of hops when we had the Rogue too. It was very, very modest, very light, but.
Yeah.
With the Stone, is it, I mean, is it, it's got a good presence, or is it just a bitterness?
Well, there is a good kind of, there's almost a tanginess too on the sides of the tongue.
Yeah.
Kind of that cherry skin, kind of tangy, with a nice kind of roasted chocolate finish. It's not bad. I don't know if this is meant to age at all. But it's held up pretty well. I think that having it a year ago, I might have picked up on a lot more coffee and chocolate than now. Like maybe a little bit more thicker mouthfeel. This is a little oily and a little thin, but it's not bad. It's actually very tasty.
What do you think about food pairings for this?
Well, with a little bit of that alcohol and the bitterness to it, it's more of a sipping beer. After dinner, of course, I'm going to go back to the fireplace with this one. For food, I would just say some vanilla ice cream with whipped cream.
Nice.
And maybe a maraschino cherry on top. Oh, Gina's flagging me down. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Gina says custard pie.
Custard pie?
So, the peanut gallery goes with custard pie, and I go with vanilla ice cream with whipped cream.
That's not just any peanut gallery. That's Beer Coaster Gina.
That's right. So that's it, yeah. Stone's 12th anniversary, if you can still find it, grab it. I mean, I even talked to the guys at Stone a few months back, and I thought, is it just me, or does Las Vegas not like this beer? Because I can still find it. And the guys were like, hey, man, that's a rare find. If you see it, pick it up, because they only brewed it once. You know, this is nothing that they have continued to brew. This is a one-time thing in July of 08. So if you do see it, I do recommend picking up a bottle.
Yes.
Hopefully it wasn't sitting in the sun.
I think you'd be able to tell if it was spoiled.
Yeah. Oh,
I would hope so by now. I hope our palates are refined enough to be able to tell that stuff.
Plus with the 9% alcohol, the 9.2, it'll hold up, you know, it have some longevity.
Yeah.
So. That's it for me, buddy.
How about a little tweet of the week? Yeah.
Or we could do your beer.
Oh, that's right. I got my beer coming up next.
Dork.
Chocolate.
You want a candy bar?
You do now.
Look, I got a Baby Ruth, sir. I'm going to throw it to you, okay? Put it in a
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Yeah.
Hey, all Mike. Right.
It's my turn.
Why don't you drink some beer?
That is a brilliant suggestion, sir. Brilliant. For my beer this week, I'm going to try High and Mighty's Two-Headed Beast. This is from High and Mighty Beer Company out of Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Out of where? They're
Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Massachusetts. Their website is www.highandmightybeer.com. And to me, it sounds like the brewery chose their name. At least this is what's a quote on their website, that they chose their name from Julius Caesar. A quote that Julius Caesar had, and he says, "Beer, a high and mighty liquor." So I think that's where their brewing name comes from.
Okay. Well, I was getting a little worried, thinking they were getting a little bit cocky.
Yeah. This beer in particular is their two-headed beast. It is a luscious chocolate stout, as they list on their lovely label here. Their ABV is 5.5%. Rate Beer rates this a 79 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B+. And the Ahlstrom brothers are slacking again because they didn't weigh in on this
Slackers!
Beer. I'm going to crack it open.
Crack it.
This is a 22, which is all their availability, I think, is just 22s, all their beers. Whoa.
So when you said two-headed beast, I thought, okay, so the label on this beer has got to be crazy. You know, some insane artwork of some, like, crazy two-headed beast.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just a fist.
It's nothing like that at all. Yeah. It's just their logo, which is basically a circle that says High and Mighty Beer Co. with a big fist up in the air. And it's all of them. And their website is very clean. It's very no-nonsense, no-BS kind of website. All their beers have kind of interesting names, you know, Beer of the Gods and Purity of Essence and what is it? There's a few more. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but
Saint Hubbins Abbey.
Yeah. So on the pour, it's a very root. I mean, there's some red throughout. So it's a brown head, very similar to the Rogue, but there's ruby. Like when I was pouring this, almost like a grape purpley highlights coming through everything. Very similar chocolate smell to the Rogue. I only got about a finger's worth of head, which is a lot less than the Rogue. A little bit of lacing going on. Actually, pretty good lacing. Some good coating of the glass. Very semi-sweet style. Roasty chocolate. Looks like
roasted
some heavy
chocolate.
Creamy. Maybe even some caramel malt in there. It's different than the other one. Sure, I'm going to take a sip.
Sounds like dessert.
It's got a thick, semi-sweet, dark, almost burnt chocolate malt. There's a light touch of sweetness here, like a caramel. Like a... It is a bittersweet.
The bittersweet symphony. Sorry, man. The Stone's talking back.
There's some...
Big time.
There's some good flavor. But as we say in Boston, it's a little light in the pants. As far as the body goes, it's a bit light. There's some good flavor though, so I don't want to discount it. It's a.
Why do you say that in Boston?
I don't know. It's a saying we have for either someone. It basically means either, you know, you're too little to be talking to me like that, or you have no balls. Get it? Light in the pants. No balls. Kind of. It kind of has a few different meanings.
If he just came from San Francisco.
This beer is all chocolate. All chocolate, baby. That's right. Yeah, it's got this... I wish I could pinpoint it. But it has a sweetness that the Rogue doesn't have, and I can't quite pinpoint what it is. But it is thinner.
Is it a fruity sweetness?
Maybe. Maybe a tiny bit. I don't want to say berry, because it doesn't really give me a berry. Well, maybe it is a little berry-ish. I had the oaked version of this at the beer festival that I went to. That we had the audio for a few weeks, or maybe a month or so back now. And I haven't tried the regular two-headed beast, but I've had the oaked version of this. I have to say the oak is a little more complex, a little bit more, a little richer. But ain't nothing wrong with this beer. It's still good.
Now, what if you were eating a meal and you...
If I were eating a meal...
Drink this
it's
with
tough
the meal.
Because it's real. I mean, it's got a rich chocolate... I don't know. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What?
And some classic Lay's potato chips. There you go.
Really?
That's my food pairing here. There's something about it that's not... I hate to say this because I like some of their beer, but there's something about it that's a little unrefined that makes... And maybe that's why I'm kind of making a joke with peanut butter and jelly, but...
So you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Two-headed beast... With PB&J and potato chips.
With classic Lay's potato chips. Don't forget about that.
So, hey, kids, when you're heading out the door to school, don't forget your two-headed beast.
That's right. If they put this in little Mylar pouches with straws to poke through, it'd be perfect.
Like a juice box?
Exactly. All right. Next
You're
segment.
Horrible. Ader Garcia says, boob size is like beer. Sure, you'll state a preference, but in reality, you'll just take whatever's on tap. It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat. Treat of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash.
Hey, Beer Coasters, it's Crazy Dave. I was watching History Channel tonight, and I saw a TV show on All About Beer, and they talked about the Sam Adams Utopia, which was a high-alcohol beer. It was like 26% alcohol. Anyhow, I thought maybe you guys might be able to do an episode on these high-alcohol beers. I think they might be kind of interesting and something new to try out. Anyhow, hope you guys do that. Talk to you later. Bye. Hey, Beer Coasters, this is Crazy Dave. I'm calling you guys for the Barley and Hops up here in Temecula. They got a Oktoberfest special thing going on.
They got all kinds of German food and German beers and all kinds of good special stuff.
Anyhow, I just had the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Was not impressed at all. However, I backed it up with a Spaten Oktoberfest, which is pretty yummy and got a bunch of, like, berry flavors in it. It's kind of interesting.
Anyhow, really like it. And if I have a couple more beers, I'll probably come back with some more. But in the meantime, I'm going to get back to enjoying my my three sausages. Potatoes and
backwash.
Then there's our audio backwash. Toby's got a little bit of backwash for us as well. Toby, what you got for us?
Well, this one actually comes from our website, directly from our website. We had somebody comment on the Schwarzbier episode a couple of shows ago.
Schwarzbier.
This one comes from Gabe. He says, hey guys, great episode. I haven't really tried many black lagers and will be picking some up in the future. I love the comedic move references and all of your commentary. Thanks for doing the show, and I will be sure to continue listening. So thanks, Gabe, for
and
checking us
Schwartz
out.
May the Schwartz be with you.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
All right. What do you say? Last call?
Sure.
All right, everybody. Last call.
All right, everybody. Last call.
That's right.
still sipping on these lovely, lovely chocolate beers.
And once again,
we do that, let's go over our pint ratings. Toby, give us your pint ratings this week.
Well, now that you've asked me, I say, with the Rogue Chocolate Stout, very, very tasty. I am a huge fan now. I don't think I've had it before tonight. I love it. It's, I'm going to say 5 pints. It hasn't been, it's been a while since I've given a 5 pint rating, but this one,
wow,
it had the chocolate. It had just overall well-rounded chocolate stout. So yeah, I'm going to give it 5 pints out of 5. Excelente, as they say south of the border. Now, on to the Stone's 12th anniversary Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout. For some reason, I'm not going to go with 5, but I'm going to go with just a step down, and I'm going to say a 4.4. No, I'm just kidding, a 4.5. 4.5.
Ooh.
It's been a year, and it's actually held up very well. Once it warmed up a little bit, it got a little sweeter, less bitter. The alcohol ended up being hardly noticeable until you hear me talk. So I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't give it a full 5. Now, if it was a year ago, I think I would have given it 5.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed it a year ago. Now I enjoy it almost as much. So yeah, Stone's Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout, 4.5.
All right.
Mike, what you got?
For me this week, the Rogue Chocolate Stout, I'm going to give it a 4. It's a great stout, but I like the Shakespeare more, I think. And I know it's bad because, you know, here we are, we're supposed to be doing the chocolates. It's just hard because it is a stout for me. I'm comparing stout to stout as opposed to chocolate stout, oatmeal stout, imperial stout. So I'm giving it a 4. Still great. I mean, a 4 is a great rating. It's a great beer. And I will
4 is good.
Leave it at that. Yeah, you can't go wrong with 4. I drink 4s all day long.
4 is good. Yeah.
For the High and Mighty Two-Headed Beast, I give it a 3.5. Okay, long story short, I wanted a little more complexity out of this one, but I mean it's a really good beer if you like chocolate beers, but this beer should have balls and it doesn't. It's, you know, High and Mighty. It seemed like it'd be much bolder, and I'm a little disappointed, and I don't know, maybe that's more of a judging a book by its cover kind of thing. But I mean, it's a really good beer, but no, the 3.5 is nothing to sneeze at, so I would definitely buy it again. So that's my pint ratings this week.
Well, if anybody cares, Gina's pint ratings,
yeah,
she's
course.
Filling in for Chris this week since she tried both of the beers. She gave the Rogue Chocolate Stout 4 out of 5, and the Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout from Stone, 4.5. So
ooh,
we were in agreeance with the Stone, but not with the
nice.
Rogue.
Cool.
Anywho.
So, we got any individual shoutouts this week?
Well, I would like to give a big thanks and a shout-out to Gabe for giving us that little bit of backwash on the website.
Yeah. Thank you, Gabe. Rock on.
Speaking of rock.
Yes. Nice segue.
All you, Mike.
Okay. Well, support Rock Art Brewing Company by boycotting Monster. It can't hurt. It can't hurt. Don't buy Monster. I don't buy Monster anyway, but... And, you know, I don't know how much of the energy drink crowd drinks craft beer, so it's I don't know. It's kind of a tough...
That's one of the main reasons. We'll dig into this a little bit deeper next week.
We'll talk
week,
a lot
but,
about it. Well, what I did want to mention is I want to give a big shout-out and thank you to Charlie. I got a great package in the mail with a bunch of Stone beers and a Stone brewery glass, and I'll be sending him... some good East Coast beers that he can't get out there in California. So thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it.
And also check out stonebrew.com. It was my tasting flight. And also moylans.com. That's M-O-Y-L-A-N-S. Hmm. Find out more information about the Kilt Lifter / Scotch Ale.
And also, you know, High and Mighty Beer. I mean, they get some good beers. I'm not going to discount them as they're very good beers. I have the oaked version of this beer, the Two Headed Beast, was really really good. I'm sure if you went to the brewery, they probably have some great stuff on tap or on cask that you can't normally get in a bottle. So check them out, highandmightybeer.com.
And also check out Twitter if you're not on Twitter and you are thinking about becoming a Twitterer. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and you're a Facebooker, whatever, you like to Facebook... You can search for Beer Coasters Podcast, and we're also on there. You can become a fan of the Beer Coasters Podcast, and you can hear all the little stuff we talk about through Facebook as well.
And you can also reach each of the Beer Coasters individually with our individual emails. Mine is Mike at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And I am Toby at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And don't forget, and even though he's not here this week, it is Chris at BeerCoastersPodcast.com. Send him an email and let him know you're thinking about him and hope everything goes well.
Yes. And you can also email us some backwash. We love to get backwash, which is feedback. And that is backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave audio backwash. The number is area code 972-914-8502. And just like Gabe did and Ty did before, you can post your comments directly on the website for each individual episode.
And Crazy Dave does every time he's...
Oh yeah, Crazy Dave does all the time.
You can also check out the website that we've been talking about. The website is it's www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes. We're in the iTunes store. Just type in Beer Coasters. You'll find us there. You can check the website on Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters. You can see what we're drinking the following week. And you can buy that beer and come drink with us. It'll be fun.
Sweet. Yeah. Don't forget to tell your friends and tell everybody you know that likes craft beer, or even people that just say, I drink beer, whatever. We'll say, hey, check it out. There's these guys that like to talk about craft beer. Maybe I can switch you on to something a little more interesting. And of course, always thanks for listening to the podcast. We really enjoy our listeners. We love them all very much.
Yep. We love them all individually. Support your local brewery. Drink local, because local is fresh. There's nothing
local
better than going to a local brewery and getting the freshest of the fresh beer on tap. Don't drink and drive.
Oh, and speaking of drinking local beer and freshness, I had the Sierra Nevada Estate Ale, which is all their ingredients are grown right there on their property, so it doesn't get any fresher than that. Very, very good. Very good. If you see the Sierra Nevada Estate Ale on the shelf, I highly recommend you try it.
Yes.
And for comments, suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, we want to know. We'll mention it on the show. Send us that backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Yeah. And give us some backwash on what your favorite beer bar is. If you're in our area, shoot us an email individually. We'll go out for a beer with you.
Yeah.
How's that?
There you go.
There's a little beer coaster invitation there. You send us the place where you like to go for a beer, and we'll go out and go for a beer with you. We'd love to talk about
maybe we'll put it on the show.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast, episode 23, Chocolate Stouts. I'm Mike, and I say cheers.
And I'm Toby, and I say cheers. Cheers, Chris.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the world is dry. Chocolate rain. Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate rain. Forecast to be falling yesterday. Chocolate rain.